So I'm going to teach you something about Thanksgiving. We have had some precious examples and testimonies this morning. I think it's just wonderful when God so orders a meeting that everything just absolutely cooperates and coincides and harmonizes and blesses, and we can see the hand of God from the beginning to the end, from the moment that Mike told that stupid joke that we all laughed at to this very moment. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate stupid jokes. I just want you to know that. I'd heard that story before, but you told it as good as anybody. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. I want to teach on a paradigm of thanksgiving. A paradigm. You know what a paradigm is, don't you? Anybody not know what a paradigm is? Okay. A paradigm of thanksgiving. And I want you to see a direction between the downward effect of an unthanksgiving heart and the upward effect of a thanksgiving heart, okay? And I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 1. Paul is on this long teaching about the condition of the world and its natural descent because they did not believe in God. And I want to begin in verse 20 of chapter 1 of Romans. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, that's the world, are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were, and here's a key word, were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And then it says, and therefore God gave them up. And you could read the rest of what happens. But here's what you see in the scripture. You see that the result of unthankfulness is a downward descent in the condition of man, in his mind, because they did not thank God for who he was. Clearly they could see, everybody can see, that there is a God who created this. And if they don't acknowledge, here's what happens. They become vain or empty and profitless in their thinking, their reasoning, their thoughts, their disputes, and their considerations all become foolish, unintelligent, lacking understanding, and their hearts become darkened and gloomy. That's more of an amplified way of reading this. The result of this descent from unthankfulness is that they profess to be wise, but are really foolish. And ultimately, God gave them up. Now, this is not the same for Christians. God does not give you up. But some of what is read here about unthankfulness does happen to us. When we are unthankful, there's a descent in our minds where we become foolish in our thinking, our reasoning gets darkened, and we begin to descend into a place where we don't think right anymore. And we develop a darkened perception of life. And there are some of us who struggle with that. And the purpose of this message this morning is twofold. One, to help you become the thankful person that you should be, to give God the thanks that he deserves. And second, to deliver you and release you from the darkness that can hold you and bind you in your minds. And you become no longer an easy target. You're captured by your own thinking. And the enemy has gotten his way with you. The upward effect of thankfulness is different. For example, it raises us from the present level of condition that we perceive ourselves to be in. And don't you know that perception is 95% of reality is perception. Whatever you perceive your condition to be, it takes on a reality. And that reality is hard to change because you keep thinking it the same way all the time. But when you become thankful, as a thankful person, not just the world says, I'm thankful, and then it tells you what it's thankful for. It's thankful for results, but it's not thankful for God. There is a big difference. Our thankfulness begins with God, not things. So Psalm 107 says this, give thanks for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The beginning of why we give thanks is because of the nature of God. He is good and his mercy endures forever. The person that we're giving thanks to is a benevolent God. God is good and his mercy endures forever. Now that is going to work out in your lives even when you find yourselves in difficult situations, unpleasant situations, ones that you didn't think would happen to you. Now this message, this teaching, came Wednesday morning, early in the morning when I woke and I began to pray and I was thinking back on the 40 years, this church is 40 years old. We're going to celebrate that this coming spring. And I was thinking on all the things that have transpired in the 40 years. And of course, your mind tends to go to those things that were really great. You know, you think about that. And then I thought about the things that were not so great, the disappointments, the failures, the heartache, the pain. You guys all know about those things, don't you? And I realized that where I am today is not where I thought I would be. So in the condition that I'm in today, I can either say something went wrong and things that I planned for turned out the way I wanted them to. Or I can say, I give thanks for God is good and his mercy endures forever. And I am where I am and we are where we are because God is good and his mercy endures forever. And in all the things that we have gone through, they all work together for good. We don't see the good initially. And we will not see the good until we learn to give thanks, because if we don't give thanks, our minds get darkened and we cannot see the purpose of God. We lose hope, we get discouraged, we get disenchanted, we get despondent, we get depressed. I was ministering to a pastor this past week who confessed to me, I am depressed. And I said, no, you're not depressed. He said, what? I said, you're not depressed. He said, I feel depressed. I said, that's a difference. There's a difference between being depressed as a depressed person and experiencing depressing situations. Please know the difference. Depressing situations may have impact on you, but that doesn't have to change who you are. You don't have to all of a sudden become a depressed person. I have reason to become a depressed person. You have reason to become a depressed person. But when we see the purposes of God in all things, we don't get depressed. We leave the depressing situation and we rise above it to another level, another realm in our spiritual life. Second reason, because first of all, the first reason is because God is good, period. That is who he is. Second reason that lifts us up, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say give thanks for everything, but give thanks in everything. Now that's a learning experience. It's not going to happen overnight. We're going to have to wait a little bit to say, I give thanks to you for this. Because some of the things that happen to us are so awful, so terrible in their immediate consequences, their effect on our thinking, that we're not able to say, I thank you for this, God. No, we thank him anyway in the situation. Because something's going to work out that is appealing to God and good for us. We don't see it yet, though. But giving thanks opens the door to it. Not giving thanks shuts that door. We cannot see. Our thought life gets darkened, and we can only see the negative. And as I was lying in my bed thinking about this and God teaching me these things, I began to see that everything, every disappointment, every hurt, every betrayal, every situation with people that I've gone through was a good thing in God because of its effect on me and the glory that enabled me to give to him in the long run. And God changed me in it all. And I'm a different person by it. But if you don't open the door to thanksgiving, you remain trapped, discouraged. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So half of the reason we give thanks is for God's glory. The other half is there's something that concerns you that he wants to do in you when we give thanks. There's an empowerment now that lifts us from the circumstance to the possibilities that we did not see or could not enter. In everything. Romans 8:28, I've taught on that. Go back and read it yourself to see that all things can work together for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes. It's going to change the way you perceive life, your life. And we are told also, third, that God inhabits our praises. Well, praises are thanksgivings. He actually dwells in them. There's something precious about that. When we offer up thanks to God, there's a joy that comes to him. He dwells in that. He embraces it. He cuddles himself into it. Can you think in intimate terms about it? What it does to God. He inhabits, dwells right in there in your praises. And that's why we're told in Colossians 4 that all of our prayers should be offered up with thanksgiving. Not just because we see that the prayer is going to be answered, but because God is worthy to be thanked and praised. Period. And because of a thankful heart that we develop along the way. It is so good. I want to give you an example. This is a familiar example. It's in Acts chapter 16. Of what thanksgiving can do to change your circumstances. In verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia, what a strange name, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. God stopped them. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them again. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So the Holy Spirit prevented them from going to two places they wanted to go, and then gave them a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come to us. So he knew that was the Holy Ghost. So after he saw the vision, immediately they sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called them to preach the gospel there. Therefore, sailing from Troas, they went a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. Now this is important because this is the beginning of the establishment of the church in Philippi, which is a foremost city of the part of Macedonia. Incidentally, I want you to know that Paul, Silas, all the apostles were sent to what are called foremost cities. Foremost cities, meaning they were particularly influential cities in the Roman Empire. It's like God said, I'm not going to the little villages. I'm going to go into the foremost villages and cities and impact them. I'm not afraid to go there. That's a little off the subject, but just so that you know that. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord had opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. She's a convert now. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. That was the first house church in Philippi. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, this was a gift of discerning of spirits. He discerned in her an evil spirit, not a prophecy from God, but an evil spirit. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and she came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe. Then the multitude rose up together, gathered against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, and commanding the jailer to keep them in security, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas began to complain to the Lord and said to him, why did you give us a vision to go to Macedonia to come over there to preach the gospel? And look what has happened since we've been there. We have been beaten with rods, and now here we are in a jail, in an inner chamber, with our feet in stocks and our hands in chains. That sounds like somebody we know, doesn't it? No, it says they were praying and singing hymns to God. A hymn is a thanksgiving to God. And the prisoners were listening. So suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with his whole household. Now let's go back to something. Let's assume that all that Paul and Silas did was complain and question. What the heck happened? How did this happen to me? Here I was being a faithful servant, preaching the gospel, bringing salvation to people. Now I'm in prison again. What's gone wrong here? God, why'd you let this happen to me? If that was the outcome of Paul and Silas, then they would not have gotten loosed from their chains. The earthquake of God would not have happened. All the prisoners would not have gotten free. And the Philippian jailer would not have gotten saved, nor his household, nor, let me say, in all honesty, neither would I have gotten saved. I'll tell you why. 50 years ago, my dad claimed me, my brothers, my mother, his mother, for the Lord using that scripture. Which scripture would never have been written had not Paul and Silas given thanks to God for their condition. So its lasting effect is over 2,000 years and still going on. God used that scripture on me. When my father said that to me, he said, I'm not going to argue with you because I was a debater. and an arguer about God. I was messed up in my thinking. My foolish heart was darkened because I had already had ideas about God that were unhealthy and unholy, about who he was and why things had happened the way they did in this world, and therefore I wasn't going to believe in him. And my dad said, I don't care what you think. I'm going to claim you the same way the Philippian jailer did. And when he said that to me, and he quoted the scripture, a hook was set in my heart. And then, of course, Andrea helped with all of her heart. And a whole bunch of other people came along and did the same thing until Jesus Christ appeared to me in a hotel room. And that's what the effect of giving thanks can do. You have no idea of the ramifications of a thankful heart until you begin to practice thankfulness. How the extent of your life will go out into the world. Isn't that amazing? I'm still amazed by it. I thank God to this day. I'm going to give you the good and the bad about no thanksgiving, thanksgiving. When there's no thanksgiving, we miss the possibilities of God in our lives, period. We can't see them. We see only our negative conditions, and we are limited in the possibilities of our lives. When we give thanks to God, it opens up to us the possibilities that God can work in us. Thanksgiving is like a doorway for God to access. And so the possibilities all of a sudden begin to appear. And we go from a negative condition to a positive one. And we live in unlimited possibilities. Secondly, if we give no thanksgiving to God, and we do not see him as the one who is in charge, who can affect the course of our lives for good, we turn from him and we look to people and we look to situations. How many of us right now are looking to people to bless our lives, to make us happy, to produce a good result, to make us feel good, to be in a better place? Or how many of us look to situations in our work, in the church? You know, it says in James, do not have the faith of God with respect of persons. Meaning, while we love each other, trust each other, we cannot expect from each other the same kind of faithfulness that we do from God, because we're still in the process of becoming more and more faithful to God and to one another. And a lot of disappointment comes when we expect people to react to us the way we think we would act to them. And we get so disappointed and even embittered, and we don't want to have anything to do with some people because they disappoint us. But we need to do two things. We need to remember, first of all, none of us is perfect yet, and yet we can still give thanks for our brothers and sisters. When Greg was giving us that revelation that he had about the bowl, which represented us being a gift wrapped in the blood of Jesus, I had another thought about that, that we are gifts to one another as well. But while I love you, I don't expect you to act like God towards me. I don't think you're going to be perfect to me in all my life. You and I are going to disappoint each other. And that's why we have to learn to love and forgive constantly and to be thankful for all these things, because every time a negative situation happens, there is a positive side to it if our minds have not gotten darkened. And when we flip over, we begin to see what God wants us to see, and possibilities begin to emerge. When we have a negative mind, the devil has more access to us. He doesn't know what we're thinking, but he can see what we're thinking by the way we behave. He can see what we do, and he can hear what we say. And when we do and say these negative things, these unthankful statements that come out of our mouths, he says, I got to play with these kids now. But when we say positive, thankful things, God has access to us. The last thing I want to say is that when you have a negative, unthankful heart, you cannot see the goodness that comes from your brothers and sisters. I was amazed as I sat here this morning listening to you share the wisdom of God, the joy of God, the depth of God, the interaction that you're having with God and He with you. And I was rejoicing over that and giving thanks. And I said to God, I'm full. I could go home now. He said, no, go ahead and share what I gave you to share. Do you understand? Meaning there's so much that we have. And the other thing is this, if you have a negative heart. Now, I know this as a leader. When people have developed an unthankful spirit, they no longer listen to advice. They've heard it all. They shut you out. And they avoid wisdom. Whenever you get to the place where you no longer can accept the wisdom of a leader, you're in a bad place. If you think you have risen to their place, and this is an aside, where their life and their experience and their wisdom is of no value to you anymore, you're in a bad place. Because you're not going to hear from anybody then but yourself. We need each other. I actually listen to you. The things that you say, the wisdom of God, it's a blessing to me. I'm going to read to you, how many of you have ever gotten this book, The Heavenly Man? It's about a Chinese brother named Brother Young. Isn't it a great read? Fantastic. If you want to, this is present day living like Paul. Brother Young was in prison for at least 3 times, and I'm going to read to you a couple times from his prison experiences. He's a Chinaman who loved God with all his heart. He was illiterate, didn't get to go to school, lived on a farm, had nothing, but came to the Lord. He said here, the 5 of us were placed in a prison cell inside the police station. The temperature was well below freezing. There was no heating at all, and they'd taken my coat and thrown it in the snow. We shivered and our limbs turned blue. We almost fell unconscious. Our frozen handcuffs cut like knives into our swollen wrists. I used the handcuffs to knock on the door and the iron windows. As I looked around, I saw a broken wooden box in the corner of the cell. Inside was an old drum. I beat the drum with my handcuffs and made a loud noise at the top of my voice, and I sang Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. And it just goes on. He just worshiped beating with his handcuffs on an old drum. The more I sang, the more I was filled with joy, and I stood up and praised God. Gradually, my frozen hands and feet regained feeling, and I wasn't cold anymore. The 4 brothers knelt down on the floor and earnestly prayed for China, not for themselves. How about that? The piercing wind whistled loudly outside, but inside our cell, weeping and the groans of intercessory prayers were heard. That's a thankful spirit. Praising God in all things. He didn't do this once. Here's another interesting comment. This is another time he's in jail. During the first few months, the guards watched me closely, but I never discussed politics. The Lord allowed me to see other men through His eyes of compassion. I prayed for the sick and shared the gospel with my fellow prisoners whenever I had the opportunity. I was able to do this by making the guards think I was a skilled masseur. Now, here's a man who, you see how he saw the possibilities. He could see God working in the midst of his difficult, unpleasant, painful situation. He had given thanks to God, and therefore he had opened up his heart to possibilities. While I massaged the sick prisoners, I secretly shared the gospel and prayed for them. In this way, many received the Lord Jesus with tears in their eyes and were healed of their infirmities. He was laying hands on them, praying over them. Soon every prisoner and guard knew I was a believer in Jesus and that His power to save and heal was available to them. It goes on, the account of what God did, it's just like Joseph. From that point on, God raised him up to be in charge of everything. The possibilities of a thankful heart are open to all of us. Our lives lay out ahead of us. Something's going to happen that will challenge us, hurt us, And the way that thing affects us depends upon whether we have a heart to thank God in all things or not. And our lives will be changed by it, and the world around us will be changed by it. Now, I'm not wishing bad things on anybody. And I don't believe all of us are going to be like Brother Young. But all of us can do some of the things that Brother Young did and Paul did. And that's open to all who are believers. So this morning, let's do one thing. While we've had a wonderful moment of thanksgiving to God, that can easily change when you go back out into the world and you face the difficulties that you face. Whether or not you will still praise God and give him thanks or fall back into a negative condition. A woe is me. Listen to me. After a while, people will not listen to you. They'll give up listening to you because they don't want to hear all the negative that will come from you. But they will love to hear the goodness of God. And if that's the kind of person you will do, be, you're going to begin to change the paradigm of your heart and your mind and become a thankful person. But the first thing we do is we cast off the old man with a negative mindset of woe is me, look where I'm at, and the unthankful spirit that says it doesn't matter about all the other good things that you've done, God, look at me right now. And we get trapped in the moment and we cannot see the future. So God, forgive us, every one of us. There's none of us that haven't fallen into that. And for some of us, the trap is real and powerful and strong, and it's encased us, and we can't seem to think our way through it, and we can only see the negative, and we don't thank you for all things, or in all things, God. So this morning, we ask you by your Spirit, and by your grace, and your love for us, to begin to free us and to change our mindsets so that we become a thankful people. And the possibilities of all the goodness that you can do in us and to us and through us become more realities than we've ever known before. We ask for this, Jesus. We're serious about this. I don't want to live with my mind getting dark about the conditions of my life in the world. I want to live with my mind open to the possibilities through my thankful heart of all the goodness of God in the land of the living. Our lives are not done. They are not formed by negatives unless we let them be. We will be formed, we will be forged by the Spirit of God in all the things we experience. Help us, God. We love you. We thank you for today and how you've orchestrated this meeting. We give thanks to you for that. We give thanks to our brothers and sisters who are faithful to share with us. We give thanks for Paul and Silas. We give thanks for Brother Young. We give thanks to all the testimonies of Christians before us and around us right now who have lived a thankful life, who are testimonies to us. Lord, help us to be like them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.